All right, so tonight, I almost said this morning, tonight we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 looking at the first four verses of the chapter. And I can't remember if it was pointed out in the book or not, but this is where Paul starts to shift from the doctrinal stuff that he was telling Colossians, where he was like, all right, I want you to make sure you're not getting these false teachings, because as we talked about in the introduction, Colossians was having a lot of different people coming in and saying, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way, and a lot of them were false. So the first couple chapters were talking about who Christ is, that foundation of the gospel. Here, Paul kind of shifts to an application base. So these are things more that Colossae and even we can apply to our lives rather than this is who God is, right? More of who we are in Christ. All right, so starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things, on things above, and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life appears, then also will appear with him in glory. So if we just look at the first verse, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And I think it's cool because it kind of ties back into what we were talking about last week. I know that at the end, I was talking about how we want to make sure our focus is in the right place. Because if our focus is in the right place, it leads to right motives. And so he kind of continues that train of thought here, and our focus should be where Christ is, right? We should be seeking those things which are above, those things which are true. And if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12.
Okay, a minute.
I know Pastor Fred was talking about this a long time ago, but when he did, I remember I made a little note in my Bible in Colossians. I don't remember if I was reading through it or if he mentioned it, but when I was going through the study, I went back and looked at it, and it really does tie in to that mentality of those things which are above and where we should set our minds and where we should not set our minds. So Deuteronomy chapter 12, starting verse 29, it says, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their lands, take heed to yourself that you do not ensnare to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they have burned even their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add or take away from it. And so here we see, at this point, you know, Moses is, they're about to go in, right? They're about to go into the land that was promised to them, and Moses is giving them some reminders that they need to remember as they go into this new land and as they take over this land which the Lord has promised them. And here he's like, beware. I don't want you to become like the world. I don't want you to become like the way the world or the way that culture is that I have allowed you to take over. He's like, I don't want you to worship me in the way the world worships their gods. We're called to be set apart. We're called to be separate. We're called to do things differently from the world. So nothing that we do and the way that we worship our God should look like the way the world worships their gods. Because we worship the God and he is different. We might look weird and we might look different to the world, but I know Daddy said that yesterday. It's a good thing. It's a good weird. It's a good different. Mm-hmm. We want to look weird and different to the world. That's what we're called to be. They're not seeking those things which are above, right? Back in Colossians, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. When it says seek those things or set your mind on these things, that's an action. It's something that we have to do. It's not like we're not just sitting back and going, oh yeah, you know, if I just sit here, I'm going to seek the Lord somehow by just sitting here. That's not how it works. You can't seek something if you're sitting passively. You can't set something if you're not doing the action of setting. It's impossible. They're action verbs, they're action words. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we see, writer of Hebrews talks about, what's his name? Abraham. And it talks about how the just lived by faith. And it talks about how he was willing to wait for that promise that Christ had promised. And in verse 8 of chapter 10, of chapter 11, sorry. I was like, that is definitely not right. Of chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with them in the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And if you would jump to verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And I think it's important to remember, God has promised this for us, right? It says that we're setting our minds on things above. That is Christ, right? The one who sits at the right hand of God. And later on in the chapter, it talks about how, that when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will also appear with him in glory. That's talking about, right? That eternal life in heaven, that place of glory. And, that's promised to us as Christians. As we set our minds on these things above, as we set our hopes in Christ, we are promised this heavenly hope, just as Abraham was promised that. I think it is so cool how, Abraham was literally called out of a place where his family was, a place that was familiar, and he was willing to just leave because God told him, I want you to go. He left all of his family behind. He brought Sarah with him and their children and probably their servants and animals and stuff, but he left his family to follow God. And it's just cool to me that that's what he was willing to do. What are we willing to give up to set our minds on things above? What are we willing to leave behind? Are we willing to leave behind things of the world to seek that promise of Christ? Are we willing to go where he's called us to go? It says in verse 10 of Hebrews 11, for he waited for the city who has foundations, whose builder and maker was God, and is God. And that's so important. That's what we're waiting for, right? We are aliens to this world. This is not our home. It's temporary. It's temporal. We're not staying here forever. Ultimately, our home is in heaven with Christ, and that's where our minds should be. That's where our hearts should be. And yeah, sometimes it's easy to get distracted by the things of this world, right? They're enticing, they're tempting, but we just need to remember that they're temporal. They're going to be gone as quickly as they've come. If you would turn back to Colossians. I thought it was so cool how in verse 1, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. And I don't know about in your Bibles, mine has commas, it's like right around that. It's like pause. It's where Christ is. That's what we're setting our minds on, where Christ is. Is Christ in the things that we're doing? Because our mind should be set in things that Christ is in, in heavenly things. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, this talks about how our citizenship isn't here. It's not on the earth. Verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3 says, brethren, join in following my example, and note that those who so walk as you have us for a pattern, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven,
yes,
from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, may the joy and crown so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So here we see a call to stand fast in the Lord. He starts it out talking about how, you know, those people who are focused on the earthly things, the temporal things, the temporary things. But then he goes into that our citizenship, it's in heaven. Though we're citizens of the United States right now, truly we are citizens of heaven. And then it says that for which we also eagerly wait. Are we eagerly waiting for that? For us to get up there and hand in our citizenship, say, yep, I'm a citizen of heaven. Are we looking forward to that? Honestly, it was funny. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and she was like, Hannah, I think that I am the worst Christian. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, it is so hard for me to think about the rapture, to think about going to heaven. She's like, because there's so much that I want to do here. And I'm like, I fully understand that. I'm like, I just had a baby. I want to see him grow up. I want to see who he becomes. I want to see my future children. But at the same time, I long to be in the presence of Jesus. And so it is. It's something that we fight with because we want this and we want to do that. And we want to, but we have to remember, ultimately, those things are temporal, but Christ is eternal. In Christ is eternal. And I can't even, it's so hard for me to imagine sometimes. If you try to sit back and just think about what's heaven going to be like, I can't even think about it. It's too great for our earthly minds to even comprehend. I remember being in high school and my teacher was teaching us about the rapture and teaching us about heaven and what it was going to be like. I was trying to picture it and I almost passed out because my brain was just like, oh, I can't understand this because I have this fleshly human mind. And I desire what seems like enjoyment to me at this time. But ultimately, what is that, right? Do we find our joy in Christ? It says, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And then in verse 21 of Philippians, it says, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one who will transform our lowly bodies to be conformed to His glorious body. I know that the book brought it out, but in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When we think about that, being conformed, it's like a mold. We don't want to be molded to the ways of the world, right? We want to be transformed. If you think about it in the sense of we are the clay, right? And God is the potter. We want Him to mold us. We want Him to make us new, right? We don't want to be that clay that is pressed into a mold the same as everything else in the world. We want to be transformed from our worldly, same as everybody else clay. And we want God, the potter, to take us and make us into what He wants us to be, into that perfect piece. And sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes it's going to be hard. I know, I don't know how many of you have ever done pottery, but in high school I took some pottery, and let me tell you, it is very hard, and you mess up, and it, even if there's a little bubble in what you're making, you're trying to throw it on the wheel, it's going to get messed up. You have to knead it and form it and try to get all those air bubbles out, and that's what God does to us, right? He works all of those things out so that we're no longer, none of that appearance of the world is no longer in us. He's working all those things out, and He's going to form us into that perfect vessel, right? When you take a lump of clay, it has so many air bubbles in it. So, you know, you like knead it and knead it and knead it until they're gone. If you try to throw a piece of clay that has air bubbles in it, it's just going to break. It's just going to keep falling apart. But, you know, it's that picture of Him working those things out of us. And then if all those air bubbles are out, you throw that, it's going to be the nicest piece of thing that you've ever thrown. It's going to be perfect. It's going to look great. And just think, God can make all things perfect. And so, I mean, we're going to be that perfect piece, right? It's just a cool picture of what He's doing, right? We're being transformed by God into what He has for us. Back in Colossians. In verse 2, it says, set your minds on things above and not on the things of the earth. So in the previous verse, it said that we're supposed to seek the things which are above, where Christ is. And then here we see the flip-flop, right? We're setting our minds on things above, again, where Christ is, but it's not the things of the world. I know we looked at it last week in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, right? Where are we laying our treasures? We don't want to be laying our treasures up on the earth, gathering these things that are just going to be destroyed. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 20, here we see Paul, he's talking about how we were once slaves to sin, but we are now slaves to God. It's changing that perspective of, are we focusing on the things of the earth, our sinly, our fleshly nature, to focusing on the things and being slaves to Christ rather than the things of this world. So Romans chapter 6, starting verse 20, says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in the regards of righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Right? What do we get from sin? Nothing. We get death. But when we set our minds on those things that are heavenly, those things that are above, when we receive that gift of eternal life from Christ, and reject sin, we receive eternal life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, yes. Okay. I wrote the wrong starting verse, and I was like, that is definitely not what I was talking about. Starting in verse 7, it says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us... Oh, yeah, see, that's not right here. Sorry, in the wrong book. I was in 1 Corinthians.
Oh, okay.
I was like, that's why it doesn't make any sense. Okay, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
1 Corinthians.
So we should be in 1.
2 Corinthians.
Thank you. Okay. Wait, okay. You're good.
I'm so sorry.
You're perfect.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. I was reading 1 Corinthians. What's the problem? Okay, starting in verse 1.
Okay.
For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation from which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body, but to be present with the Lord. So here we see that while we are here in this earthly body, right, we're absent from the Lord in a physical sense, but not a spiritual sense. But it's, once we are with the Lord, we're absent from the world, and we're in the presence of the Lord, right? It says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident that it's a well-pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, right? We should be pleased. We should be confident in our relationship with the Lord. And not to be desiring the things of this world, right? It shouldn't bother us if we die or we leave our bodies, right? It doesn't matter, because that means we're going to be present with the Lord. Back in Colossians, sorry about that mixed up. verse 3, it says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And here it talks about our life being hidden with Christ and God. I know the book brings this out. We're not hiding our relationship with God. It's not that he wants us to hide in Christ away from everyone else that no one knows. Right? Mommy talked about it earlier. We're supposed to let our light shine. We're not supposed to hide. It's again that confidence that we have in Christ. I think that the word hidden here talks about us being secured in Christ. We've put our faith in Christ. We're secure. It's not necessarily it's gone. It's out of sight. It's a secure thing. It's, I've placed it here. I've hidden it here. It's secure. It's not going to go away. I think about, if you have something that's really special to you, I know kids do this often. I remember growing up, we would have like these little boxes that have like locks and stuff on them. If you have something that's really special to you, you're going to put it in there. You're going to lock it. You're going to secure it so that your siblings aren't going to get it and ruin it. And it's that same thing, right? We want to make sure that our faith, our hope is secure in Christ. It's not going anywhere, right? And I think the only way that we can make sure that our life is secure, is hidden in Christ, is being in the Word. When we are in the Word, we're confident in Christ, because we know Him more. We know what He wants us to do. It's the same thing, seeking those things which are above. It's being in the Word. And it looks crazy, and I know we hear it all the time, be in the Word, be in the Word, be in the Word. But it's so true. It's a relationship. It's just like me talking to Mommy, right? If I want to know her more, if I want to know Jackie more, Helen more, Lori more, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to talk to you guys, because if I don't talk to you, then I'm not going to know you at all. It's the same thing. Prayer, right? It's that communication. We want to seek those things. If we want to know what the Lord wants us to do, what that perfect will is, if we want to be transformed by Him, we need to be in the Word, because this is where He speaks to us. This is where He transforms us, and tells us what His will is. In verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear in Him, with Him in glory, right? It's that promise of eternal life in Christ in heaven. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when it is revealed, that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Yes.
And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself as He is pure, right? Again, it's that transforming. I think it's so cool. It's such a great promise that when that promise is revealed, when we go to be with Him, we're going to be like Him, right? Because we're going to see Him as He is. It's such a great promise. I can't wait to see Him. It gives us such hope. I know the people of this world, they have no hope. And I think that's the difference between seeking those things which are above and setting your mind on things which are above and not on the earth. Because if you just set your mind on the things of this earth, if they're temporal and they're going away, you have absolutely no hope. Mm-hmm. But if you set your mind on things which are above, which are eternal, which are going to last forever, beyond even what our minds can comprehend, we have hope. And that hope is in Christ. So, yeah, that's all I got for you guys.